have a couple of readings for you this evening, both from the book of Luke. If you want to turn up to Luke chapter 1, we will be reading from verses 26 to 38, and then we'll jump to Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Luke 2, 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all in the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So you may have noticed that I am not Jackie, as previously advertised. Jackie did provide the sermon to me tonight, so I will not take any credit for what I'm reading to you tonight. It's all his work. I will avoid doing the Belfast accent, although I was tempted. But just in case I do accidentally misread and later claim to have been the minister in Bridgenorth, that would be just me misreading. I was not the minister of Bridgenorth. So what I'm reading tonight is a sermon that Jackie has prepared for today. So I'm just reading it on his behalf. Luke chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart." A few months ago, Andrew was preaching, and he mentioned this verse. He said that this is a strong phrase, that she pondered these things. She didn't just think about them now and then. She meditated on them. She contemplated them. She deliberated on them and weighed up the facts that she had been given. Maybe early in the morning, or perhaps last thing at night, she'd set aside time because you can't meditate in the busyness of your day. It took time to consider all of the things that had miraculously happened to her. Of course, we should therefore be doing the same. When we read our Bible, we often read our Bible notes that we follow. All too often, we just close it after that and say a quick prayer and get on with our day. But meditating is going a step further. It's actually making sure that you have enough time to sit and think and to really consider the passage. Maybe read more than your daily bread notes to ponder what God is saying to you on that day. When Mary pondered, I believe she also wondered, sat in awe at all that happened. Why me? I didn't deserve this privilege to bear God's son. And then, what if? What if I had said no to the angel? What if Joseph had had me killed? What if God chose someone else? All of those questions shooting through her mind, and in the end, all she could do was sit and wonder at all that God had done. A dictionary definition of the word wonder is a feeling of amazement and admiration caused by something beautiful, remarkable, or unfamiliar. Other similar words are fascination, amazement, astonishment, or awe. But in today's world, there isn't much wonder anymore. In fact, the word wonder isn't all that wonderful anymore. How many times have you heard of someone rising up to the top of the charts for a short period of time to be called a one-hit wonder? In America, there's an ordinary loaf of white pan bread, but it's called Wonder Bread. But there's nothing to wonder at about any of these things. The Great Pyramids at Giza in Egypt are the last of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The others, which are no longer with us, can only be pictured. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. The seven wonders of the modern world include the statue of Christ the Redeemer in Rio, the Colosseum in Rome, and the Great Wall of China from the Yellow Sea to the Gobi Desert in northern China, and also the Taj Mahal in India. Now, although these things can be considered as wondrous sights to behold, because they're so magnificent to look at, because of their size and because of the amazing engineering that was taken to make them, they were only created by humans. We may not know how they were created, but there are human explanations for their creation, even if the explanation hasn't yet been discovered by us. On the other hand, there are the seven wonders of the natural world. The Grand Canyon in America, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, the harbor in Rio de Janeiro, Mount Everest in the Alps, the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights in Norway, the Petrusian volcano in Mexico, the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. These are natural wonders of the world which go beyond the human experience. These wonders speak of the omnipotence and creative power of God. And that's where wonder comes from, not from humans, but from God. But even the natural wonders of the world are not what cause Christians to wonder. There's a song called There's the Wonder of the Sunset. I'll just read the lyrics to you now. There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, and the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Why on earth, or why in heaven, would God want to love me? Now that truly is wonderful, full of wonder. I know me, and I'm sure you know you as well. We know that we are the chief of sinners, so why does God love us? I don't know, you don't know, but he does. And even more wonderful, it's amazing how much he loves us. He loved me enough to send his own son to die for my sins. And that's when the fullness of God's love was shown to mankind, when Christ left the glory of heaven and came to earth on our behalf. What a privilege. You've all heard of the American Express credit card, and there used to be an advert for the card, and the tagline was, "Membership has its privileges." It appealed to the basic human desire to be special, to be chosen above the rest. The world is divided between the haves and the have-nots. The people who have not look on the people who have with envy and wish that they had the same privileges that they had. Now, there was the author of a book that Jackie had read, tells the story of a conversation that he had with his then-girlfriend, who later became his wife. They had been dating less than 2 months, And they were out for dinner when she said that she had something to tell him. Of course, he was worried because he thought it was probably all over, or there was another boyfriend. But that wasn't the case. She wanted to tell him that she was adopted. When he got over the feeling of relief, he asked her to tell him all about it. So she explained her story. When Kathy in Virginia became Marlene in North Dakota, he asked, "Have you ever wanted to find your real parents?" "These are my real parents," she said. "They had an entire orphanage full of kids to choose from, and they chose me. They could have chosen anyone, but they didn't. They chose me." For Marlene, the privilege was the joy of being chosen. And I suspect that Mary felt the same when the angel Gabriel appeared to her to tell her that God had chosen her to be the mother of his child. Even in Gabriel's greeting, the wonder of privilege is clear. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord be with you." Highly favored meant that Mary was privileged. That's something to wonder at. Mary was in awe. How could she, a virgin, have a baby? Gabriel assured her that God had already done the impossible for Elizabeth in her old age. And now God was going to give her the privilege of carrying his son. And awe and wonder turned to trust and a willingness to do what God wanted. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." I wonder if you've ever truly realized just how privileged you are. If you've come to Christ and confessed your sin and been born again, you are a privileged person. You have been chosen. Of all the millions and billions of people who have been born throughout history, past, present, and the future, God chose you to be adopted into the family of God. What a privilege that is. The book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 4 to 6 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure, to the will and praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves." So try meditating on that for a while. He had the whole world to choose from. He had the whole of history to choose from. And yet he chose you. How can you not feel privileged when you think about that? How can you not sit in awe and wonder? To be chosen to be saved from sin. Chosen to have the Holy Spirit live within you. Chosen to have all the riches of glory at your disposal. Chosen to have the same power as he has. Chosen to be equipped to serve him. Chosen to go one day to go to heaven and to be with him forever. And chosen to be heirs, co-heirs with Christ. What amazing privileges, because he chose you. Early in her pregnancy, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, the wife of Zechariah, who, although well on in years and unable to have children, was now 6 months pregnant. The scriptures don't tell us how or why Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Perhaps it was to escape the taunts and the barbs of the woman of her village. Perhaps it was to speak with someone she knew she could trust. Someone in the family, someone who understood this miracle conception. But most likely it was because the Holy Spirit compelled her to go. For comfort and support, yes, but also for confirmation. Because as soon as the baby in Elizabeth's womb heard Mary's voice, it leapt in her womb. Then Elizabeth was excited, and she was inspired to say, as we see in Luke 1, 42 and 43, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" What a prophecy. Elizabeth knew nothing about Mary's pregnancy, but as soon as the baby leapt in the womb, she humbled herself. And Mary praised the Lord. And what praise? In Luke 1, 46 to 49, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary's sense of wonder is clear in these verses. They're called the Magnificat, which means, "My soul shall magnify the Lord." Her response was praise and worship and thanksgiving. Her audience with Elizabeth caused her to feel even more wonder. God had orchestrated this pregnancy, and now it had gripped Mary's heart and filled her with true and uninhibited wonder. 9 months later, Mary and Joseph, now her husband, were on their way to Bethlehem to register there for the imperial census. I want you to consider the fact, the wonder of all of this. In Genesis 49:10, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he said to Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." Now that was around 1850 BC. And the tribe of Judah would have ruled over the nation. When Saul was made king over Israel, he was a Benjamite. Oh, how the nation had got that decision wrong. But God put it right and had Samuel appoint David from the tribe of Judah to be the next rightful king over Israel. Do you remember where Samuel had to go to anoint David? It was Bethlehem. David was anointed to be king in 1030 BC and reigned from around 1040 BC to 970 BC. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times." Micah made that prophecy around 700 years BC. And then in the year not, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. And where did Mary and Joseph have to go? Bethlehem. How can anyone say that God is not sovereign? Now, there's no way that a woman who was heavily pregnant and so near her time was going to get on a donkey or walk for miles to deliver this baby. Something had to compel her to go, and that was the Roman Empire. And God had put that entire Roman Empire in motion for the single purpose of getting Mary to where she needed to be at the moment that Christ would be born. This was no ordinary birth. It was prophesied 1800 years before. And when the time was fully come, God sent forth his son. That's what Galatians 4:4 says. And he even moved nations to comply with his will. Is it any wonder that Mary wondered at all of these things and pondered them in her heart? Have you ever wondered why God did all of that for you? Surely that causes you to wonder as well, to be thrilled and excited by this news. If he did all of that way back then for you, what has he got planned for you in the future? And not only is it planned, because God planned it, it will definitely come to pass. Look at Luke 2, 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Have you ever noticed the simplicity of these two verses? Into the world comes the Son of God, the most amazing event that ever took place. And all God gives us in Scripture are two verses. There's nothing told about her pain, even though today we hear so much about it on TV. We see the cries and the shouts, the anger, the gas in the air, and the craziness that comes with a pregnancy. There's nothing about her joy when the baby is placed into her arms. I'm told there's no pain like childbirth, and there's no joy like when the mother has the baby in her arms. The pain is still there, but the joy outweighs the pain. Mary had all the added joy. This child that she cuddled was none other than the Son of God, and she had the privilege to carry this baby for 9 months. On the other hand, this baby would also have to suffer to rescue men and women who were lost in their sins, people including his own mother. What a wonderful night this was. This son, promised way back in the Garden of Eden, prophesied for almost 2,000 years, promised by an angel, conceived by the Holy Spirit, affirmed by the then unborn John the Baptist, carried in the womb to Bethlehem to ensure the fulfillment of prophecy, and born in a stable surrounded by animals. This baby was the one whose name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, when Jackie was at Bible college, the students were told that they would have to do funerals and weddings and dedications, but they were never told how to do them, which meant that when the time came, they had to just do them off the cuff. So on the night that Jackie was appointed the pastor at Bridge North, an item on the agenda was Christmas and the carols by candlelight service. Now, discussion developed as to who would lead the service, and someone said, couldn't Jackie do it? And that's when Jackie started to learn. He had never done anything like that before. Nothing in Mary's young life could have prepared her for this. Of course, no woman is prepared for their first child. Life is rosy, life is sublime, and then the pain comes. But Mary's pain was worse because of the heavy responsibility that came with this child. Yet, with wonder and obedience, she accepted the extraordinary implications of God's extraordinary plan for her life. What a whirlwind 9 months she had had. She had met an archangel. She was given a baby by the Holy Spirit, a child who would be the Son of God. She went to her cousin, and her baby leapt in the womb. She sung praise to God that is recorded in Scripture. She endured the ridicule and abuse of others around her, and she went to Bethlehem, where the baby was born in such humble circumstances. And we're told that Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. She meditated on them. She constantly thought about them. Maybe one day she would understand. But not until another 33 years later, when she saw her firstborn nailed to a cross on behalf of mankind. We're 2,000 years later now, and we're still caught up in the wonder of it all. In another couple of weeks, we'll be in the height of the Christmas season. The world around us will be going crazy. There'll be presents and parties. And as Christians, we'll possibly get caught up in it all. But above all things, let's take regular time to consider it all again and ponder it in our hearts as Mary did, with wonder and awe and fascination and astonishment and amazement, because he did all of it for you and for me. Amen.